Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing with your friends and family. And I'm going to have a brief little segment. I'm going to talk about the impact of inflation, but we really have a wonderful topic today. And here's the question. What should all younger people understand about finances? And for this segment, we have Steve Davies. He's a CEO of Total Wealth Academy. He's a radio host. After 30 years of coaching and studying successful people, Steve has figured out a formula that works. The key is a second stream of income above and beyond your job. Steve has touched on everything from finances to romance, from cash to wealth. Steve has been featured in Good Day Houston, Forbes Council, NTD News, and more. Steve has trained hundreds of thousands of people seeking a practical path to financial empowerment. So, Steve, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Actually, the honor is mine because this is a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. I think it's very, very important for people who are younger to start understanding what's going on in the financial world. I just got to say that there's too many people that don't understand stuff. And I know they're not teaching it in school. And most people don't even learn it when they're in college. And they typically have to learn it on the seat of their pants, or they have somebody like you where they go and listen to radio shows. I think it's very, very, very important. Now, one of the questions I love to ask people is this. What got you into the business?
Well, what happened for me is I was on the corporate path. I had been given a map to success, the same one everybody's given. You know, go to college, get out, get a job with a major corporation with high pay and good benefits, then scrimp and save, work for 45 years, retire and live off your savings. And that was the model I was using. Well, the fifth year in, I was working 60, 70 hours a week, won a national sales contest, won a trip to Hawaii. And when I got back from Hawaii, they cut my pay by 20 grand a year. And what that did was it woke me up to the dangers of depending on a job for your income. It's a high risk position. And I started, this was in the 80s. This was 89. I couldn't sleep. I was losing my wife because I was working 70 hours a week. Nobody likes this joke, but if you're working 70 hours a week, who's romancing your wife? It ain't you. And I was like, man, I'm losing my wife. I'm broke. I'm now negative cash flow because they cut my pay. There was this thing on late night TV called an infomercial. Mm-hmm. Those infomercials were Carlton Sheets, Dave Delgado, Tommy Vu, all these guys talking about investing in real estate. And so I took my last credit cards and bought about $30,000 worth of books and boot camps and things like that and started investing in real estate. Initially, I really wasn't an investor. I was a wholesaler and flipper. That's not true investing, but I was at least in real estate. 3 months later, I was able to quit my job because I was making more money with that than I was at my job. That allowed me to rescue my marriage because I no longer had to waste those 60, 70 hours a week. I was only working maybe 10 or 12 hours a week. I just started studying and reading everything I could get on finance, money, wealth, balanced living. And I loved to teach it. I would share it with my friends. And for some reason, I had, I don't know what it is, fun. It was just fun to share the ideas with my friends. And none of them did anything with it, but it was fun to share the ideas and show them what I was doing. Eventually, I realized that's what I love to do was teach. I keep my money in real estate, but I'm all passive in real estate. I don't do any active investing. I spend all my time teaching. So that's a short version of how I got into it.
Well, hey, that's wonderful. And actually, there's probably almost everybody on this listening to us today has experienced that. Yeah. And what I mean by that is I went from developing businesses overseas and not wanting to travel to working for a major corporation here in the United States. I purposely took a lower position and I was dropped into the worst location and it became the best in 3 months. I'm sitting at this executive meeting where they're all talking about, you know, where we give our plans and how we're doing and why we're doing it and all that stuff. 3 months later, I was moved into another office. It was the worst one of the bunch and did it again. And the next thing I know, I'm getting moved from office to office, building it, and somebody else is taking it over and they're making the money while I'm staying down here. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do this too long. So I actually got out for the same reason, because I saw that. And my daughter, she just graduated, got her master's, which is really great, but she's got a friend who has been working and just got married, and her husband's in a great job and all that stuff. And he just got laid off because they're doing a downsizing.
Yeah.
So the reality of a layoff is pretty prevalent. And the reason why is because back in the 70s, people, they worked for 30, 40 years and they were able to stay there. But now you might have 4 or 5 jobs throughout your lifetime.
That is so true. And people don't realize that. I heard one time, Steve, that the average person only stays on a job for 7 years. Well, you divide that by 45 years. What is that? That's 6 or 7 jobs, something like that.
6.5 jobs. Yeah. When you said risk, I go, yeah, that's the risk. You know, and the reality, if you work for yourself, it's entirely different. You can make your own way. I really think that's important, but I also think it's important for younger people to understand that so they can look at taking a different path or a path that better suits them. Let's start with the very first question. Why should younger people be learning? I'd love your take on that.
The reason is, and you mentioned it, which excited me, we understand it the same way. They don't teach it in high school. And if you want to get it in college, you got to seek it out. It's not in the standard or required program. They just don't teach people about money. And this goes to the point that the rich are teaching their kids differently than the poor and the middle class. When my son was 8, I gave him a copy of The Richest Man in Babylon by George Klassen. And I told him, I said, son, you need a second stream of income. Now let's go do some Legos. And when he turned 9, 10, 11, I kept reminding him, remember to build the second stream of income. When he turned 18, I said, okay, remember, build a second stream of income. And by the time he graduated college, he had 11 rent houses and $4,000 a month in second stream of income. And people will say, well, your son must be brilliant. He must be a hard worker. I'm telling you, he is, but so are you. So is every listener. They're brilliant. They're hard workers. But how many of them were told to build a second stream of income when they were 8? None of them. So they went out with a different map. And it's sad to say, but that map doesn't work very well anymore. If you look at the statistics and you really analyze them, 95% of Americans really are failing to retire by age 65, 95%. And they're becoming burdens on the government, burdens on their kids. And that's not their goal. Those people are good people. They worked hard for 45 years, but they had the wrong map.
I definitely don't disagree with that. And I think that's really important. One of the things that you said, see, many people take on the same financial habits of their parents.
Yes.
Because they're doing what they see, not doing what they're told. So you showed your son, hey, this is how I go about do this. And he probably went along with you a couple of times, but you kept reiterating it. And I think that's really important for people to understand. Kids are going to do what they see, not what they've been told.
Yeah. And Steve, the other thing is there's a, you know, that map that I gave, it's actually a lie. To say, you know, you're going to work for 45 years for the same company, you're going to be able to save up $2 or $3 million. It's a lie. But the people who are telling it don't know it's a lie. In other words, the parents are telling them that map. Then they go to high school. The high school teachers tell them that map. When they go to college, the college professors teach them that map. Here's the problem. Were your parents high school teachers or college professors multimillionaire entrepreneurs? No, they don't know how to be successful. They're giving the wrong map over and over again. And here's the catch. They don't realize it's the wrong map till they're 65, 70, or dead. So it's not getting passed on. My dad, when he was 65, put his hand on my shoulder and he goes, "Steve, I'm glad you're investing in real estate because what I did didn't work." I don't believe there's many men or women that have the fortitude or the courage to say that to their kids. But I'm so glad he said it to me.
Everybody, we're going to stop right there. You want to stick with us? We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve and Steve Davis.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. I truly want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends and family and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. And if you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You probably don't want to miss some of our affiliates here at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. You can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. We have an insiders club. You can see the behind the scenes stuff. You can even see today we have a transformer pole go down. So we had to stop and start again. So that might be interesting to you all as well. So with that, we have Steve Davis. He's the CEO of Total Wealth Academy. We've been talking about what should younger people understand about finances. So Steve, welcome back to the second part of the show.
Good to be here.
Here's one of the big things that we want to go through. How should younger people be taught?
I think that my opinion is that people should go back in time to the early 19th century. If, you know, there was Andrew Carnegie, Napoleon Hill, George Klassen, and that was when they really began to study human success, self-development. At least I know there was self-development forever, probably 3,000 years, but those books are the starting point. The problem is that it's hard for a parent to teach a child about finance if they don't understand it. So they've got to read the books as well. The Richest Man in Babylon by George Klassen is a masterpiece and probably the most important financial book I ever read that explains starting with nothing and ending up the richest man in Babylon every step of the way. So I think reading is the number one thing, but I would say it's a tie with it's our responsibility as parents to do well financially. Because you brought it up earlier. If you tell your kid to do something different than you're doing, they don't hear you. They see what you're doing. If you go through life living paycheck to paycheck, working jobs you don't like, and you're unhappy, you're teaching your kids to do that too. It is our responsibility to do well financially. So you've got to read, you've got to excel. And leadership, because leadership is by example, that's how you teach your kids, by showing them.
So I think that's wonderful. And, you know, it brings me back. We had this day when my kids were young in school, and they brought me in there because, like you, I've seen you in the local news shows, and I've done a number of those things for more than 15 years now. Because I had, for some reason, been on a whole bunch of them in a short period of time, they had me come in and talk to the kids. They asked me to do a little class on budgeting or finance for little kids. And I asked them, I said, "Hey, what's the thing you want to buy? What do you want your parents to buy?" And some were saying Legos. Some girls were saying dolls and stuff like that. And I said, "So how much money does that cost?" They're like, "Well, I don't know. I just want it." Okay. You know, kids, it's just the way it is.
Sure.
But then when I said, okay, so let's take a look. And they had a little white screen there and I pulled up the Lego set and it was $12. I said, do you have $12? He says, no. I said, how are you going to get $12? And I said, well, do you get an allowance? He goes, yeah, I get $1 a week for allowance. So how many weeks is it going to take you to save up for that Lego set? And he says, well, at least 12 weeks. I go, so, well, you're not going to spend anything for 12 weeks. And he says, well, yeah, I want to get some lunch and stuff like that. I said, well, okay, so how long are you going to have to save? And then he realized that he was going to have to save for almost 30 weeks to get the Lego set because of his spending. And I said, so what are you going to stop spending on in order to get there? They started getting it that, hey, I'm going to have to save for this. I'm going to have to do stuff to get this. My parents aren't the bank here if I'm going to want to get these things. And I think one of the things that you're saying is, people need to realize early that mom and dad aren't the bank and they've got to do things on their own, just like you taught your son.
Yes. And I also think, Steve, we've got to get away from telling people to save what they don't have. I've never saved $1 million, but I've made $1 million. In other words, to save $1 million, you got to make it. And we're telling American citizens, you know, you need $1 million or more to retire. But I was doing the math. After 45 years with an average income around 50 grand a year, which is what it is in the U.S., that's $2.2 million. At the end of 45 years or $2.5 million. And we're supposed to save $1 million of that? What about garbage, gas, electric, water, mortgage, insurance, cars, transportation, fun? What about enjoying your life a little bit during those 45 years? I think that we need to spend about 5% of our time on budgeting and saving and 95% of our time on making more money, building a second stream of income. When you look at the 5% of Americans who do retire successfully, almost all of them had multiple streams of income, second and third and fourth. And I think, you know, I always say 70% used real estate. Well, a guy corrected me the other day and said it was 90% used real estate to do it, that you got to work on making more money. This concept of save, 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 budget, budget, budget. If you don't make it, you can't budget it or save it. You've got to figure out a way to make more money.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's interesting. You see people complaining about the minimum wage. It doesn't get you anywhere.
No.
And it goes back to your point about, I mean, if you live in California, $50,000 puts you in poverty. Okay. Yep. It's just the way it is because the cost of living is so darn high. In fact, you can't even afford a home if you've got $100,000 in California. Okay. You're going to have two incomes. You're going to have to be working all the time because they're so expensive. The reality is, if you're not making more money or finding ways to make more money, you're never going to be there. So I totally get that. Now, I have a question for you, Steve. You have your radio show. How does it work with your organization?
Yeah, Total Wealth Academy. What we do is we teach people how to use real estate to build a second stream of income, both actively and passively. Active would be single family. Passive would be commercial, big apartment complexes, self-storage complexes. And what people do is they're taking their 401ks and IRAs, moving it out of the stock market and investing passively in these syndications that are buying apartment complexes. And our internal rate of return has been over 20% on every deal we've done over the last 5 years. It's starting to get a little higher because prices are dropping, but we're making three times what the stock market does, and it's cash flow. It's not just equity. It's cash flow. Bills come in every month. You need money every month. Cash flow comes in every month. So that's what's changing people's lives.
It is. I like the way you say cash flow, because the reality is retirement's really about the income you have to create the lifestyle you want. And if you don't have the income, it isn't going to go anywhere. $1 million, you just don't, you know, that's great. It's $1 million. But if you're not able to create an income, and what we've seen in the last year, we've seen a 20% decline in market prices. So if you see a 20% decline in market prices from the stock market, hey, I only have 800,000 now when I used to have $1 million, and I still got to take that income. And I can capitalize that principal all the way down if it's not structured right. And what you're talking about is, hey, we see the fluctuations within real estate, but it never completely goes away. and the rents are always still there. So you always have that cash flow, which makes it a more stable income. And that's a wonderful way to look at things.
Yeah. What people don't think about, and I know what I'm about to say is brutal, but if you save your way to retirement and you even walk away with $1 million at 65, you know what you're praying? You're picking a God and going, God, please kill me before I run out of money. That's not a good way to live. If you build a second stream of income, it comes in whether you live 10 years or 50 years in retirement. Doesn't matter. So your point about cash flow, yeah, I like the way you said that. And I hope you don't mind. I'm going to use that.
Anytime.
Cash flow is king because the bills keep coming in. And then the other misconception is that your bills get lower as you get older because your kids have graduated college and all that. But they forget about medical expenses. A CPA friend of mine goes, yeah, it's $700,000 to live to 84. The average couple will spend $700,000 in medical costs if they live to 84. Crazy.
That's nuts. That's even harder to insure. Hey, Steve, we're coming to the end of our segment here. How can people get a hold of you? How can people get connected with you so they can look at building a second stream of income and maybe create a stable income, almost like a pension for their lifestyle and retirement?
That's what it is. It's like you own your own pension. We have members across the United States, some in Canada, and everybody does their classes online. It's go to TotalWealthAcademy.com. And the first step would be to take the free sample class. There's a big yellow button at TotalWealthAcademy.com that says free sample class.
That's great. So, hey, go to that website, select that yellow button, folks. And hey, nice thing about it, it's free, so you can figure out if it's for you or not. But Steve, I want to thank you for joining us today. I think
thank
it's
you.
Important, especially during all these economic storms that we're seeing right now, that there's one place that can create some stability and stability of income, which makes a big difference in everyone's lives. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Hey, thanks for sticking with us. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve. We're going to talk about the impact of inflation.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I want to truly thank you for tuning in and appreciate you and your friends and family and associates know about the show. If you're interested in Steve Davies' Total Wealth Academy, you can always go to that website. They have a free class that you can check out to see if it's a fit for you. With that, I want to go ahead and start talking about the impact of inflation. So inflation in 2021 was 7%. In 2022 was 6.5%. Currently, in 2023, it's 5%. Regardless of whether or not inflation starts coming down, it doesn't mean prices are going to come down. When inflation finally comes down, a new price point will have already been established. Prices will continue to rise from that price point just at a slower rate. What that means is the cost of living has gone up almost 20% in the last 2.5 years. This is why preservation of capital is so important to keep in mind. Every 12 years or so, you're going to need 50% more income just to stay the same. That means maintain your current purchasing power. So when you're experiencing this rapid increase in cost of living along with these economic storms resulting in market losses, which makes sense to look at ways to reduce risk with your investments that have downside protection, reasonable rates of return, enough liquidity so you can pivot when the market starts moving back forward, and so you can weather these storms and keep up with inflation. The last thing you want to do is be totally focused on growth in your portfolio and cannibalize your principal when you're looking at inflation going up 20%, market rates going down, and you still have to take out that withdrawal to sustain your lifestyle. Okay. So the big question here is this: is your complete return comprised of the growth stocks that you're liquidating, or is it comprised of interest and dividends, as well as those growth-oriented pieces? You know what? Just want to leave that for you to ponder with. Again, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.